Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, I wanted to share some update with you. I know that during the last week, we were talking about Hurricane Sandy and some of the things that have been happening and the devastation and how people are recovering. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this weekend, Pat, Chris, several of the VFN churches in the Northeast wanted to participate and help out, do some relief.
You know, there's,
now a lot of the churches up here in this area were pretty blessed. They didn't suffer any kind of a major damage, lost the power for a little bit.
Right.
But other than that, I mean, very grateful that we've been spared.
Praise the Lord.
So we got together, and our understanding was that in the north, what happens a lot of times is you guys know, when there's a catastrophe like this, like a storm, for instance, a hurricane, and having been through three or four of them ourselves together, we've got a little experience in this, just a little, 10 days without power, and oh my goodness. What happens oftentimes is that a lot of the media attention and a lot of the help and all of the resources often goes to the place that's kind of maybe hit the most
or worst.
Got the most attention.
Right.
And like, you know, Katrina, a lot of people were heading down to New Orleans, but not that many people were in Waveland, Mississippi. When we got to Waveland,
devastated.
Remember that?
Oh my gosh, terrible! I mean, like a bomb went off.
Yeah, the whole, and it was, you hardly saw that, you know, that much attention. But you know, even to this day, a lot of people talk about Katrina and New Orleans, but there was a whole area of Mississippi, a large portion of Mississippi that was devastated.
Yeah, that's where it hit. That's where it hit, actually.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And what happened was that just the dams
storm
broke.
Storm surge is what, that's what, exactly.
In New Orleans, but absolutely. So with that being said, kind of the same thing is happening here. A lot of the kind of the resources and a lot of the attention is on South Jersey and what's happened there. But, you know, you have folks in Staten Island that just been absolutely devastated. And then you have folks here in the northern part of the state in New Jersey that, although they didn't suffer, you know, great physical damage to their homes, there are tree limbs still on the road, their power lines still down, and there's a great majority of people still without power. And so, as you know, you can go 2 or 3 days without power and your food starts to go bad. You got to kind of start cooking it and grilling it up. But after a while, if you're not able to go to the store, and if you go to the store, and like many of the stores today don't have anything on their shelves.
Completely bare.
I mean, chicken doesn't have a chance in America. I went to the supermarket and all the chicken was gone.
Couldn't find a one.
It was completely gone. But so we went to Patterson. We went to Patterson and we went to a neighborhood and an apartment complex that hadn't been with power since day one.
Oh, wow.
Day one. So we put some sandwiches together and put some pretzels in a bag and toted them out there, and we just started knocking on doors and just trying to see who's out there and who can we love on and who can we give some food. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. People are very receptive. You know, people are very receptive to help, very receptive to someone that actually cares. And, you know, one home that we were able to visit was an 82-year-old lady that, bless her heart, Chris, I mean, she had no power for 6 days, and she was just venting. I mean, she was just letting it go. And, you know, me and Eddie were there. We were just listening to her. You know, she just needed someone to talk to. And she said that her son tried to get her to leave. But she said, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? Hopefully we have a video that we'll be able to play maybe even tomorrow about. You can hear her for yourself. But she didn't want to leave her home. I mean, she says, I know where everything's at. I mean, she had a lot of stuff in that house, you know.
Right.
But she didn't want to leave. And she was wearing a coat because they had no heat either. So she's wearing a coat. She has a hat over her head. It's pitch black dark. And she was very happy to receive the sandwiches. And we were able to encourage her there and just kind of love on her and let her know that, hey, there's people here that care about you. And we're going to keep looking after you. We went to a couple of houses that they didn't have, you know, they were running down on food. More than happy to take the sandwiches. And we're able to pray for one family. It's Lady Joyce. Can you imagine? There's no power, 6 days. And in that particular apartment complex, there have been now people that have been trying to steal gas and kind of get into vehicles.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so the neighbors there are concerned, and, you know, there's not that much police presence since they're spread out all over the area. Well, we walked in the home, Lady Joyce and her daughter-in-law and her daughter were there, and she was, I mean, ill. She was totally sick. I think she had some sort of flu or cold, and we asked if we can pray for her. And she said, yes, she was open to it. So we came on in and just prayed for her and prayed for the family. And believe it or not, it's nothing like a tragedy, nothing like something going through something like this that causes a lot of people to think about life and what if it was me and what if we lost, you know, our life in this and where would I go? And
we had
a really awesome conversation. A few of us started gathering because it was leaving other apartments and they just kept inviting more of us in. So we had like a full house there.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, so cool. 5 minutes before we walked in, we were strangers. Mm-hmm. And 5 minutes after just talking about God and just praying, it's amazing how we just started to connect. And you could just feel the love and the compassion there. Before we left, guys, before we left, we were able to pray with several people there in the home to receive God, you know, as their personal Lord and Savior.
Awesome.
I mean, how awesome is that?
That's beautiful.
You know, where people can just like, you know what? We're blessed. You know, we do need to turn our hearts to God. I mean, it's just, you could hear a pin drop. And that was pretty amazing. We had a lot of highlights that day. But let me tell you, that was a pretty big highlight.
All right.
As we were leaving, we decided to stop at a gas station because there were just crowds and crowds of people. And we have this video, and hopefully we can make it. We can do some editing for it, but get it prepared so that you can hear firsthand from the people that were there. Mm-hmm. And you can hear the frustration, Chris. I mean, you can hear the frustration in the people's voices. This particular gas station, they were there for 6 hours, some people there.
Wow.
You got to imagine, it's freezing out here now, okay, guys? And the temperature has dropped, and get this, Wednesday, they're forecasting a nor'easter to come in this area.
Oh wow, what is that exactly? Doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it's some sort of like weather pattern. I'm not too familiar with them since I'm, you know, not really, you know, familiar with what that is. But it's kind of some sort of a storm. That happens typically in the Northeast.
Right, it's like a snowstorm, or
well, they say it could bring snow.
Right,
it could bring snow. Definitely wind, definitely rain, and not something that you definitely want to face right now.
You got
people that's just like,
man, that'd be terrible.
Yeah, it's cold. You got children. I mean, this woman, poor woman, Joyce got sick, and so you have these people, you know, waiting online, trying to get gas, and this one lady, we did an interview with her, and she was just outraged. I mean, she was just outraged. And what happens is because no one was communicating anything. FEMA has not been around, and we've shared this number before, and we gave this number out to many, many people. But if you're listening today in the affected area, you can call 1-800-621-FEMA, and FEMA's going to, you can pre-register, and they can have all sorts of resources that are available to you. I believe they'll even give you some funds that you can restock the food that you lost, and even help if you've been unemployed as a result of the storm. But they have a very neat questionnaire that you can go through. In fact, FEMA actually has an app. If you have an iPhone and you have a service, I'm not too sure if they have one for Google, but I know that they have one for the iPhone, and you can type in the word FEMA and download that app to your computer, I mean onto your phone rather, and you can begin to start filling out a questionnaire to see if you're even eligible to receive any kind of funds or support or help in any kind of way. But we shared that. No FEMA representatives in the area, no power representatives in the area as far as when the power is going to come back. This was Saturday. No National Guard, no one bringing any kind of resources or food. And when we showed up to the gas station, there were more than, people were still hungry. We gave out some last bit of sandwiches that we had left. And wouldn't you know that the very next day, now they weren't scheduled to have power until the 9th, okay? So it's like, oh my goodness. The very next day in the morning, that particular neighborhood, I got notified, received power.
Oh, praise God. Awesome. That's awesome.
So how cool is that? You know, because God just, you know, visited them in that neighborhood and just the love of God and just people sharing and caring and and just ministering. And the very next day, it was like God's like, you know what? You've invited me in your home. You've invited me in the area.
Yeah.
And just favor rested upon them because they weren't going to get power to the ninth. And just keep this area in your prayers. I mean, I know that everyone's been praying, but continue to pray because the weather's starting to get very, very nippy and very cold.
Mm.
But, you know, one of the cool things about being able to just to share the love of God and being out there ministering to people that have great need is to be able to put yourself out there. It's not always easy to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always easy to embrace an openness to go out. But you know what? As believers, guys, God's called us to go into the harvest fields.
That's right.
He's called us to go and get out of our comfort zone and introduce ourselves to people that maybe are strangers to us, but to share with them the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is what we're called, and you know, God gave me a word, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago on vulnerability. I shared it with someone, and as I kept thinking about it, praying about that, the word, it just became to just open up even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to get back to a place of being vulnerable.
You're right.
You know, we got to get to the place of being open. And not closed off. When you think about the word of being vulnerable, it just means like weak. It means open, exposed, liable. I mean, we certainly don't want to be vulnerable when it comes to the enemy, you know,
right.
And the father of lies. But we do want to be vulnerable when it comes to ministry and talking to other people. I mean, can you relate with that? Because it seems like,
definitely.
You know, it seems like there's a temptation for many to be closed off, to be guarded, and I'm just not going to put myself out there.
Right. Right.
But is that really conducive to sharing the love of God?
No. It's all about self.
Right.
It's all about self-preservation.
Right.
You know?
You know,
you don't want to look foolish. You don't want to be inconvenienced or, you know, whatever the case may be. You just don't want to look dumb.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I struggled with that early on, you know, when I came out fresh out of the world. I mean, that was my mentality. It was like, you can come this far, but no further.
Yeah.
You know, I had huge walls, you know, of insecurities and, you know, and we all struggle with that at times, but it was major, you know, and thank God I've come through a lot of that. But yeah.
And you think about it, I mean, lack of vulnerability, you think about even a marriage relationship. I mean, how intimacy, how close can you get with someone if they're always keeping you at an arm's length away?
You can't.
And it just can't.
You can't.
You can't receive love and you can't give love.
All right.
And oftentimes, go ahead.
No, I'm saying it just can't happen.
Yeah, and oftentimes we're just protecting ourselves from being hurt or, you know, being misunderstood. But that's what vulnerable means. It means to be susceptible to physical or emotional injury, to be liable, to, you know, to be exposed out on a limb.
Yeah. Ooh, that's dangerous.
It's dangerous. It's dangerous. But it's so good because when we step out like that, that's where the miracles are at. I mean, think about it. You know, look at Jesus' example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus ministered in you know, he was fully God and fully man, but he didn't minister in his deity. He didn't minister in all the Godhead that was available to him.
Mm-hmm.
He walked this life as a man empowered by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he didn't minister out of the strength that was available to him. He ministered out of just
the weakness.
Connectivity with God.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so important. Even how, I mean, look what Paul says. Look what Paul says. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 through 22, but I'm talking more about verse 22 here. It says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak.
Mm-hmm.
And I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means, I might save some.
Mm.
You know, Paul said, listen, I'm going to be all things to all men And I'm going to allow myself to be weak. Why? Because I want to be about the kingdom. I want to be advanced the kingdom of God. I want people to come to know Jesus.
Right. Exactly right. And he also says it early on in 1 Corinthians, and where he talks about, he says, he didn't come to just to baptize you. Mm. He says, but I came to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, not with, he says, I came in with fear. Oh, no, let me back up. I'm sorry. He says, I didn't come to you to baptize, but to preach the good news and not with clever speech or fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power.
Mm.
It wasn't about all the fancy dialogue, all the fancy, you know, all the eloquent words and, you know, trying to impress somebody. It was all about, because he didn't want to mess up the word. He didn't want to mess up the message, which is to keep it simple. It's all about Christ and him crucified.
That's right.
Not about nothing else.
That's right. Isn't it amazing that we get to the point where sometimes we get so educated and so full of information that, you know, there's two sides to this. You know, either someone gets attacked and they want to gather all the information in the world, all the scriptures in the world before they tell anyone about Jesus, or they become so fearful that they become paralyzed that they can't even open their mouths.
Right.
And there's that tension between that I'm just going to be vulnerable. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to know the entire Bible before I tell someone about Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be concerned about looking dumb or weird or strange or not looking to protect my reputation or what they think about me at work or what they think about me at you know, my friends. I'm just going to expose myself and I'm going to stay in that kind of little bit of unknown territory, if you will.
Right.
And I'm just going to trust God to fill my mouth. I'm going to trust God that when I speak on his behalf, he's going to give me the words. He's going to give me the words and what to say that will touch men's hearts. I'm going to be vulnerable. When you look at how Jesus sent the disciples out to minister, this is in Luke 10, and he says, after this he appointed, Luke 10 verse 1, says, after this the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road.
Right.
It's like, Jesus, are you sure about this? I don't need money for a bus ride back. I mean, don't I need a, you know, a stick just in case something happens here at night?
Right,
how about
right.
a flashlight?
I'm going to be very vulnerable.
Exactly. I'm going to be pretty exposed.
Think about it. Yeah, good.
And he sent them out. Why? Because when we're vulnerable, we're in that place of we embrace that weakness, then God can be made strong. Then we can fully trust and rely on God and not rely on ourselves.
Right. That's a perfect picture of humility when you're totally dependent on him.
Yeah.
You know, you have no other choice but to call out to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And we need a dependency factor. I mean, this is what God's called us to. God's not called us to minister to people and love them people. You know, God loves you.
Yeah.
Someone tried to tell you about God is like, I know you're saying the words, but it just doesn't feel right.
I'm not feeling it right now.
I'm just not. I know this is scriptural, right? John 3:16. You know, but I'm just not. And it's nearly impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's nearly impossible to be able to convey the love of God.
Right.
Closed up.
Right. Right.
Totally, totally impossible. So you want to be in a place where. The place where miracles are at, you know, the place of miracles at, you can't be thrown into the lion's den, right?
Yeah.
And see, the lions get lockjawed unless you're actually thrown in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes the temptation is to avoid any situation, any place is going to allow us to be vulnerable, not to keep our guard, you know, down or any place that we can be hurt. And it's like, listen, we got to trust God. We've got to trust God. I mean, Zechariah 4:6 says that it's not by power or by might, but it's by God's spirit.
Mm.
We're not going to be able to do this thing in the flesh.
Mm-mm.
We're not going to be able to do these things because we've studied up or you Googled up.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's
right. Not to be able to minister the love of God because, you know, I don't got a seminary degree and I'm just, you know, I am just so full of the word. And it's like, come on, come on. You know, be vulnerable. Share your testimony. Share who you used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, share. Have we forgotten what God saved us from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember coming to God and seeing all these perfect people. I never thought, I'm thinking, man, what am I doing up in here?
That's right.
I'm like, these people are so polished. They're so perfect. I mean, mm-hmm. they never did anything that I. And you know, we got to be careful that we're not coming across to others that we've got it all figured out. You know, if we're trying to hide our limp. You know, D.D. Jakes says, I don't trust a man that doesn't limp. Do you have a limp? Do you know who you used to be? And we can't forget that. Oftentimes,
right.
I think too, the people run away from their testimony.
Right. Well, think about it. Look at what it says also in Corinthians. It says, brothers, think of you what you were before you were called.
Mm.
The condition you were in.
Right. Yeah.
Because obviously you forgot. Let me remind you.
Yeah.
Think about it. He says, not many of you were wise by human standards.
Yeah.
Not many were influential. Not many of noble birth, but God.
Mm.
But God. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong.
Mm.
He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. So
wow.
that, this is the reason, that no man may boast before him.
Wow.
Think about it. We forgot.
We forgot.
We forgot.
He doesn't want to share. I mean, he doesn't. God does not share his glory, man.
No one.
With no one.
He says, therefore, as it is written, let no man boast, but boast in the Lord.
Wow. What do you have? What do we have that wasn't given to us by God?
Hello?
You know what I mean?
Hello.
And it's like, let's embrace that period of vulnerability. It doesn't seem comfortable in the beginning, but truly, God is there every time. I mean, every time you step out, God is there. But you're not going to experience, like, well, why don't we experience miracles? And what? Because you're not even stepping out. You're so guarded and closed off. And just, you got all these bars around you. It's like the Bible says, you know, he who shows himself friendly has friends. I don't have any friends. Do you say hello? You know what I'm saying? Do you talk to people? Do you see that look right there, that constant frown? See, that is not conducive to meeting friends.
All right, that's not going to work.
That is not going to work. You know, if you want to have friends, you got to show yourself
friendly.
You've got to open up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see miracles in your life, you got to put yourself out there and trust in God. I mean, that's the greatest place to put yourself in, you know, in that type of a place. I remember what in my abiding time, a word that the Lord really encouraged me. He says, listen, you're not going to live by bread alone.
Mm-hmm.
By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Let me tell you something. We can't go back to what, you know, this worked before in the past or that worked before.
Mm-hmm.
We got to live in the place of totally trusting God and totally be dependent upon him and what he says at this moment, at this turn, at this juncture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, David, just because you used a slingshot to kill Goliath 5 years ago, it's not going to work today.
Right.
You know, God's doing a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run to the things that God used to use all the time.
That's right.
Just because he used a slingshot before doesn't mean you're gonna do it again.
That's right.
You know, so vulnerability is a place that we just need to cry out to God for, and a place that we need to be if we're gonna be effective harvesters in his kingdom, if we're gonna be effective in sharing the gospel.
That's right.
Because if we're not willing to expose ourselves, if we're not willing to be humble and share people what God's done in our own life, our testimony is not something that we should run away from.
Right.
It's something that we should be excited to share about.
Right.
This is who I was before.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am after. And what happened with the before and after? Well, I met King Jesus.
That's right.
And he took my life, took my mess and made it my message.
That's right.
You know, and I didn't run away from what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm willing to tell everyone, look,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a person with an experience is a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. It's like, listen, dude, great argument, but I was blind, you know, and now I see. I was lying in my pool of blood and God said, live. And I don't care who knows. I'm going to share it with the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So let's continue to pray. I'll pray for you. Pray for me. We'll pray for all. We'll all pray for each other.
Amen.
Well, let's embrace lower still and be at a place of total humility, dependency, and vulnerability so that God can continue to get all the glory in our life.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.